Today's Shem Sechta Ervin Daf Pei Beis. We will begin on Daf Pei Aleph on the Beis, five lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah, Amar Yehuda B'Matvam Amurim, 10 lines from the bottom. Amar Yehuda B'Matvam Amurim, when is the halacha that we cannot place an Erev unless with the consent of the person who we are putting down the Erev for? That's only by Erev Tchumim. For as we explained, by Erev Tchumim, it causes whatever direction you gain, you lose in the other direction. And because you lose in the other direction, that's why you need to have the consent of whom you're putting the Erev down for. Aval, but by Eruv Echetzeris, when Rabbi Yehuda said, Ma'arvin Ladato, Vishloi Ladato, we could do it with consent or without consent. Amr, Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, to this comments, Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, Halach Rabbi Yehuda, the Halach is like Rabbi Yehuda. Furthermore, he comments, "Akom makoim shoshana Rabbi Yehuda be'ervin." Wherever we ever find Rabbi Yehuda quote stating an opinion in Hilchas Ervin, halacha k'maysay, that is the halacha. Amalei Rav Chana Bagdata Rabbi Yehuda. So Rav Chana Bagdata asked Rabbi Yehuda, it's interesting. Rashi Masechta in Brachas Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis says the reason he was called Bagdata is because he came from the city of Baghdad. Whereas Rashi Masechta Yevamos says the reason he was called Bagdata was because he was a person who always said Agadas. He was an expert in Agadas. So it says, Amalei Rav Chana Bagdata. So Rav Chana Bagdata says to him, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, that Rav Shmuel even agree that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, afil b'movi shenitlu k'roisav u'lechayev, that if you have a movi who lechi u'kayra were removed on Shabbos, that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem and Daf Tzadik Dalid, that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was that since the smavui was permitted to carry in on Shabbos, so does it remain for the rest of Shabbos, which we know not everybody agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei, to which Rabbi Yehuda responded, "Bam Ervin Martilcha." Where did I say that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda? When we speak about Hilchas Ervin and the way we construct Eruv HaChatzeris, v'loi, but not when we're speaking about Mechitzas. When it comes to speaking about the Mechitzas, there I don't necessarily follow the opinion of Yehuda. So I saw a very interesting episode that Rav Mordechai Tendler Shlita brings in the Sefer Masoros Moshe Siman Reish Mem Aleph. He says that one Shabbos, he went for a walk with his wife and children, a child who was in a baby carriage. The walk was in a park that had an Erev around it, and therefore you could push the carriage on Shabbos in that park. He wanted to check how far the Erev in that park goes to know how far he can move the carriage. And as he was checking to see how far this Erev goes, he realized that one of the kairos, one of the beams that was used for the Erev had broken. So he asked his wife to remain there with the baby and the carriage. And he went to his grandfather, Rav Moshe Zatzal, to ask him what to do. So Rav Moshe responded that since your daughter is old enough to walk somewhat by herself, and therefore walk with her at home. Even if you'd have to carry her, I think he would be probably somewhat lenient because Chai Nois is Atzmai. As far as the carriage and whatever is in the carriage, Rav Moshe told him, leave it there until Matzah Shabbos. So Rabbi Tendler asked Rav Moshe, I understand what you're saying and that works for me, but I saw that there were other Jews carrying in that park with garages, and they're not aware that the Erev is broken. Do I have an obligation to notify them that to push the carriages in this park? Rav Moshe answered that he doesn't have to notify them because you can't leave little children in the park all day of Shabbos. And therefore, if you're going to tell them, that's going to be a real challenge to them what to do. So it's better not to say anything because Mutav Sheh Shoyigim Valye Mezidim. And Rav Moshe then told him that in Europe, there was a minig that they would check the Erevin around the city every Erev Shabbos to make sure that they were intact. And then they were careful not to check the Erev on Shabbos and Yontif. Because if you check the Erev and Shabbos and Yontif, and we just learned in the Gemara, now there's a question if that Erev still obviously cannot be used. And now you have a real problem. However, if you don't do anything, so then we could rely that if the Erev was good on Erev Shabbos, it's probably still fine and continue carrying. Continues the Gemara. Amalei Rav Achavrei Ravel Ravashi. The fact that you said halacha, that you said the halacha follows Rav Yehuda regarding what we said at the beginning of the shir, when can you put down an Erev without somebody's knowledge, when you can that, Michlal, the pligi. Obviously, it's a subject of a machlokes of Yehuda and the Chachamim. Ask the Gemara, v'amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, kam makasham Rabbi Yehuda, wherever we find in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yehuda uses the wording emasai, or b'medvar mamurim, the Mishnah Seinu, it's not to be understood that he's coming to argue. All he's trying to do is explain the opinion of the Chachamim. So what are you telling me that we're passing like Rabbi Yehuda? Of course we're passing like Rabbi Yehuda. There's really no machlokes. Ask the Gemara, can you indeed say v'loy pligi that there is no machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? V'natanan, have we not learned in the Mishnah on that pay amid beis that if somebody made a shtufa mevos or ruvach atzeres, the Tosfos aleihem, and then other people came to live in that chotzer or in that mavui meisif, you could add umezaka and you could make the area for those other people as well. You could expand it, but tzarich leidia, that we have to get their consent. So we clearly see that there is a machlokes. Answers the Gemara, there is no machlokes. In a regular situation, everybody agrees that if I'm contributing the food, I could make an Eruv HaTzeres or Shtufa Mevois without their consent. The case of that Mishnah suggests the Gemara, Hosam b'chotzer bein shnei mevos. They're talking about a chotzer that's between two mevos, and it's open to both of them. And we don't know who this person who's in this chotzer, that he has an option to go with this or with that, wants to go. That's when you need to get consent. But when you have a chotzer that's only open to one mavui, everybody will agree that you don't need to get consent. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that that's pshat in that Mishnah? That Mishnah is specifically speaking about a chotzer which is situated between two mavuis. V'amar Rav Shizbi, Amar Rav Chizda, Zois Ameris, Chalukin Alav Chaver Rabbi Yehuda, that when Rav Shizbi learned the Mishnah, he said we see that the Rabbana disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, that our Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda says we can make an Erev without their consent, and there we see we need their consent. So we see that there is a Machloikus. Or rather, Rav Shimon Levi says that Rabbi Yehuda is disagreeing with the Tanakh, is explaining the Tanakhama, whereas Rav Chizda holds Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama are disagreeing. Ella, says the Gemara, so what? How did he respond? Gavra Karamis, you're asking a question, as we just explained, from two different Amoraim. Mas Sovar, one Shmuel holds the Pligi, that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chama are disagreeing, and that's why he had to say Haloch Rabbi Yehuda, whereas Rabbi Shua says Loi Pligi, and therefore he didn't have to say Haloch. Gufa, says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Kamakam Sham Rabbi Yehuda, wherever we find Rabbi Yehuda using the word emesai, or b'meh, the Mishnah Seinu, wherever he used that kind of language in the Mishnah, ena el farish devar chachamim. So I say he's not coming to disagree, I'm saying he's coming to explain the opinion of the chachamim. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is, emesai, when he uses the wording of emesai, indeed it means lafarish, but when he uses the words b'meh devar mamurim, that's coming to disagree. But Tosfos, in Masech the Sukkah, Daf Mem Amabeis, the very Maskel Shema, says Rabbi Yochanan, when he says that when Rabbi Yehuda uses the words B'medva Mamurim, he's coming to argue, it doesn't mean that he always is coming to argue. What the Gemara means to say is that sometimes he means to argue, and sometimes he doesn't mean to argue. Amasai always is an explanation. And B'medva Mamurim could be one way or the other. So to ask the Gemara, We know the Midaraisa, somebody who is a Gazlan, is Posel Edus, because he's a Rosha. And the Torah Gedoshah says, Atashas Yotcha Im Rosha, Liers Eid Chomis. Such a person cannot be an aid. However, there are individuals who we're going to speak about in the Gemara now, who are not Midaraisa, considered Gazlonim, but the Chachomim consider them Gazlonim, and that's why they're Posel to say Edus. But these people are only Posel Midrabonim. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah says, ask the Gemara, when Rabbi Yehuda uses the words Emesai, are we to understand Lefarishu, that he's just explaining the opinion of the Tanakhama? V'tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Chof Dalar on the base teaches us, Ve'elahim, the following individual are Psulim Posel to Sa'edis, Hamasachik Bekuvya, somebody who is a card player. Somebody who's a card player is considered a Gazlan Midaraisa. He's not considered a Gazlan Midara. He's a Gazlan Midrabanan. He's not considered a Gazlan Midaraisa. The Misabakov is somebody who gambles. They used to use wood chips or stones that they used to use to gamble. And the reason that they're considered a Gazlan Midrabanan, because the person who makes a bet, the person who gambles, is only gambling because he's assuming that he's going to win the bet. If he thought he was going to lose this wager, he would never involve himself in a bet. And because of that, the Gemara is saying, we consider him a Gazlan Midrabanan. He's a Gazlan. He entered into this gamble, but he thought he's going to win. If he knew he was going to lose, he would have never entered this bet. Of course, this is a very interesting question. This is the basis, actually, for a very interesting question that I saw that the Poskim discuss. And that is the question. Here, clearly, we're seeing that somebody who gambles, somebody who's a Masachik B'Kuvya, is Poseleidus. We're going to learn that Rabbi Yehuda says that it's only somebody who doesn't have, we're going to see that in a moment, somebody who doesn't have a different profession. Because then he's Eina Oisik B'Yeshuva Shalaylam. He's not gainfully employed. Whereas the Rabbanan hold that even if he has a different job for Panosah, a Pasach B'Kuvya is Posel, because as we just learned, it's an Asmachta, it's not really considered that he, it's considered a Gazlan Midrabanan. The Shulchan Aruch, in Choshe Mispet, Simen Shin Ayin Sif Beis, Paskins, Hamasach B'Kuvya, somebody who gambles is Gazlan Midrabanan. The Rabbanim. And the Ramah in Sif Gimel says that we paskin that it's only somebody who doesn't have another profession. But it's clear that it's an Isser to do Masachah B'Kuvya. There only can be a question if he's possible to be an aid or not possible to be an aid. But he's certain Masachah B'Kuvya is certainly Isser. So the question is, if Masach B'Kuvya is Asur, we know that there are many fine organizations that make Goyrel, that make different types of lotteries to raise funds, or people who buy tickets for the lottery. Why is that not considered a Masach B'Kuvya? So the Shas Chuvas Rap Ha'olim, Yerodeya Chelik Beis Sim Lamed, the Shas Chuvas Yaskel Avdi, Yerodeya Chelik Ches Simon Hay, discussed this question. They explain that the issue of Masach B'Kuvya is only said when there are two people, where one is going to win and one is going to lose. In such a situation, that is called Masach B'Kuvya. However, when we have a situation where there's no two people who are wagering against each other, there's a Chinese auction, for example, and there's going to be one person who's going to win. It's not at the expense necessarily that somebody else is going to lose. That, or different types of auction, that isn't considered Masach B'Kuvya. The next person the Chacham say is Posel is a Malva Beribis, somebody who lends money with interest. Again, it's not considered a Gazlan D'Raisa, because I'm not the loiva, the person who's paying the malva, is doing it full-fledged with knowing that he's doing. However, since this person, Rashi explains, Masechta Sanhedrin, we know how the Torah is so strict against taking interest. This person who takes interest shows that he can't control himself for his desire to have money. And therefore, since he's an individual who cannot control himself because of his desire to have money, we need to be concerned, what else will he do for money? He may say false testimony. Mafricha yoinim. So there's two pshatim in mafricha yoinim. One pshat is that they used to have races with these birds, so it's a form of gambling. Another pshat is that they used to train the birds to fly and take things from other people's nests. Again, it's not derais gazela, but again, either it's the same category as Masach B'Kuvya, or it's because that's what you're training your birds to do. V'sachar shvius, or people who do business in with perish shvius. The reason the apostle, because again, Rashi says, these are people, we're not supposed to do business with Shemitah produce. These people cannot control themselves from doing this because they just want to keep on earning money. So why is this only the Rabbanon? Why is it not the Raisa? Shemitah is in this the Raisa. So Taisus Masechta Sanhedrin explains that the Mishnah is speaking about Shemitah Bezman Hazeh, and Shemitah Bezman Hazeh is only also Midrabbanon. Another pshat that Taisa says that these people don't realize that the Isser of Shemitah also applies to doing business with Perish Vias. And since they're not deliberately, therefore, being over the Isser Deraisa, we can't consider them Asim Deraisa, but only Asim Derabonim. To all of this comments from Yehuda, Amr Yehuda, Amasai, when are they possible? Shein lam umnus elihi, that this is the only thing that they do. Ava yeshlai umnishlahi, they have a different profession, hareza kosher. Then they are considered to be kosher edus. Because again, since the gzela, as we kept on repeating, is not a gzela deraisa, it's only a gzela derabanan, and therefore, or Rabbi Yehuda holds that what do we say is the issue is a smachta. Rabbi Yehuda is maybe going to hold that a smachta kanya, and Ribbis the Rabbanon, Gzeila, Sochre Shvius is the Rabbanon. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda takes this lenient approach. But Tanala B'Braisa, whereas the Braisa, when it tries to explain this Mishnah, says, the Chamayimrim, that these individuals who are identified as being disqualified, Bein She'en Layom Salahi, whether they have another profession, Bein She'yesh Layom Nishalahi, whether they do or don't, Harei's Apostle. So what we see here is that even though Rabbi Yehuda uses the word Amasai, and we just said that Amasai represents that they're agreeing, and just Rabbi Yehuda is explaining the Tanakhama, here we see Rabbi Yehuda is clearly disagreeing. Answers the Gemara, Hahi, that Braisa that says that the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda is not really the opinion of the Chachamim. It's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Amar B'Tarfanhi. He who holds that a smachta is not ever a kinyan. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa says, if you have two people sitting together, and there's somebody coming to greet them, and there's a debate between these two people who are sitting here, if the person who's coming towards them is a Nazir or not. And one says, I will be a Nazir if he is a Nazir. And the second one says, I'll be a Nazir that if he's not a Nazir. They're debating if he's a Nazir or not. And that's what the kind of statements they make. Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Reb Tarfon. Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Tarfon. Loilam Einech Mem Nazir. Neither of them will be considered a Nazir. Lefish Ein Naziris Allah Flaw. Somebody's only considered a Nazir when he was articulated his statement. Here, when he accepted the Naziris upon himself, it wasn't for sure that he's going to be a Nazir. Because we don't know if he is or isn't a Nazir. So what do we see that Rabbi Tarfon's opinion is? Kivin the Masapkle, if there's a question, if he's a Nazir or not, Lomishabat Nafshe, Hachinami, when somebody makes a bet, Kivin the Layadi Ikoni Iloikoni, if he's going to win or lose, Legomra Makna. So of course, Taisus Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Chof Hayom and Aleph Devar Maskil Hahi says this subject that Rav Tarfon is talking about is Naziris. And when the Torah speaks about Naziris, the Torah uses the words kiyafli. Ish o ish, isha kiyafli linda ned lahazir. So the Torah is very specific that you're not a nazir unless kiyafli. You were very articulate in accepting Naziris upon yourself. Here in our Gemara, we're speaking about kinyonim. So what's the connection? So Tosfos says that why indeed does the Torah say that one doesn't become a nazir unless he clearly articulated and understood what he was doing? Because if not, it's a suffix. So he says that's the same thing by an asmachta. When you gamble, it's not certain that you're going to win or lose, and that's why a kinyan can only be a kinyan, according to Rav Tarfon, when you know for sure that this is going to be a full-fledged, valid transaction. So even though the Torah is speaking there about Naziris, it still could be connected. Hanu l'chaloyim, hanu l'chaloyim, hanu l'chaloyim. Baruch Hashem, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch, we begin the next parak of the Masechta, Ketzav v'Shtatvim. So, as we've learned earlier in our Masechta, we spoke about the halachas of Erev Tchumim. The halach of Erev Tchumim is that every person has 2,000 amma from where he is at the beginning of Shabbos. And the halach is that you could walk 2,000 ammas from the border. We learned many halachas that the entire city is considered dalar ammas. We learned the halach that the city is extended. But after all of those halachas, the halach is you only get 2,000 ammas from the border of your city. So as we discussed, if you want to walk in one direction, 4,000 amas, what you do is you make sure to put an Erev Tchumim, which is food, so that indicates that your Makom Shvisa, the place that you're going to be for Shabbos, is actually where you have the Erev Tchumim, and that becomes your Makom Shvisa for Shabbos. And by that becoming your Makom Shvisa for Shabbos, you get 2,000 amas from there. But as we've said many times, of course, if you gain 2,000 amas in one direction, you lose those 2,000 amas in the opposite direction. But all of this is accomplished by putting down food where you want to be Kohen Shvisa, because by putting down food where you want to be Kohen Shvisa, that's considered the place that you're taking residence for Shabbos. And that's called Eruv Tchumim. So says the Mishnah, Ketzim Shtatvim B'Tchumim, how is an Eruv Tchumim made? Says the Mishnah, Menechas HaChavis, you put down food wherever you want to put it down. V'amar HaRezel Chol B'Neiri, I'm making this Eruv Tchumim for the people of my city that need this Eruv Tchumim. L'chol Mishiel L'Beis HaAvol, if somebody is going to be Menachem Avol, or Lebeis HaMishtah, or somebody's going to a Sheva Brachas to be Mesameach, Chosin V'Kala. So you have to put down, as we learned, two sudas, the man for two sudas, for every individual who wants to rely on the Erev. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, teaches us a machloikis, if you're allowed to be Menachem Avol on Shabbos. The halacha is that, like Beishamai says, you may not. Beisil says, you may. But the halacha, and that's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Aruchayim, Simen, Reish, Pei, Zayin, that even Beisil, who allows Nicham Avel B'Shabbos, L'chatchil, one should not be Menachem Avel B'Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, V'kol, Shekiva Lomim B'Ajoin, if somebody accepted to this Erev from before Shabbos, so that made it a Kohen Shvisa, and therefore Mutter, he could rely on that Erev Tchumim on Shabbos. However, Mishitachshach, if he only decides to rely on the Erev after Shabbos began, Osir, then it's too late, Shein Me'ar Mishitachshach. Even if the Erev was put down on my behalf, but I only became aware of this Erev and only accepted it after Shabbos began, it's too late. The Ritva points out that our Mishnah says, Mishiel Lebeis Ovel, Beis HaMishta, says, why does the Mishnah mention Beis HaAvel before Beis HaMishta? Because the Pasuk says, in Kehelis, Toiv lelechas abeis ha'ovel melechas mebeis ha'mishta. Why does the Mishnah say she'em aram shetechshech? So the Mefarshim explain that the Mishnah uses the word Mishatechshech to teach us even when it starts becoming dark, as we said, the Erev Tchumim has to be put down before Bein HaShemashos. Once it starts getting dark, which is Bein HaShemashos, it's too late. It says the Gemara, based on what we just learned in our Mishnah, Amar Rav Yosef, Eim Arvin El Advar Mitzvah. We can only use an Erev Tchumim if we're going for Advar Mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, my Kamashman, of course. Have we learned in the Mishnah? When the Mishnah wanted to give examples of when we're using a Erev Tchumim, L'chom ishiyelch v'esa ovel v'esa mishpat. All of these are Dvar Mitzvah. Answers, so of course it's obvious that we only can put down an Erev Tchumim with Dvar Mitzvah. Answers the Gemara, Ma'ad ha'tayim u'chad milsa k'tani. Usually when does somebody put down an Erev? When does somebody want to travel in a direction? Because he has a Dvar Mitzvah to do. But maybe we would think that even if it wasn't for a Dvar Mitzvah, it's permissible. K'mash malon. That's what we're learning. Then Erev is only permitted if it's put down for Dvar Mishnah. So there's a very big Machloikus Rashi in Tosfos here. Rashi, everybody agrees, the Gemara is very explicit, that you can only put down an Erev with Dvar Mitzvah. Rashi, however, holds that if you put down the Erev for Dvar Mitzvah, and that was the reason you put it down, can you use it now for Dvar Rishos? So Rashi says, no. It could only be used strictly for Dvar Mitzvah. The Tosfos Ben Aparet says that if indeed you put down the Erev not for the purpose of a mitzvah, then the Erev is not a valid Erev. However, if you put down the Erev L'tzoruch Mitzvah, now you could use it L'dvar Rishos. The Rambam is even more lenient. The Rambam's opinion is that L'chatchila Yim Arvin Ol Dvar Mitzvah. But if somebody put down an Erev Tchumim not with the intent that it should be used for Dvar Mitzvah, it's still valid. Moreover, that Rit says the Ritva, and we spoke about this once, Erev Tchumim is valid, even according to the Ma'ad Omer that holds Tchumim is the Raisa. And the Ritva makes a very interesting point. He says, if we hold that Tchumim is the Rabbanon, so the Rabbanon are the ones that instituted the whole Issa Tchumim, and the Rabbanon also instituted that you could rely on Erev Tchumim, but as we're learning now, they said you could only rely on it L'dvar Mitzvah. However, the Ritva suggests that if we hold, like Rabbi Kiva, that Erevin is the Raisa, but still Erev Tchumim works, the halacha will be that Erev Tchumim will work even if you hold it to the Raisa, Erev Tchumim will work whether you made Erev Tchumim L'dvar Mitzvah or L'dvar Rishos. The Rashba points out that even though when we learned that you could be kind of Shvisa by putting down Erev Tchumim, we learned, it was actually suggested, that the better way of making an Erev Tchumim is not by putting down your food. That's actually a leniency, that you can rely on just putting down your food. The leniency is that you don't have to put it down yourself, as we just learned in the Mishnah. Somebody else could do it on your behalf. However, if you're Ma'arav Baraglov, by being at that place that you want to be Kanish Fis, by physically being there, says the Rashba, that the halacha is that it doesn't make a difference, and you could even make it that type of Erev L'dvar Rishos. However, there are Rishonim, the Rosh, and Tosfos that say, our Gemara says, Eim Arvin L'dvar Mitzvah, means under all circumstances. The halacha is, like the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Tuf Tezvov, Sif Al Paskins, like the Rambam, that if you made an Erev for Dvar Rishos, then the halacha is that you could rely on that Erev, even though you shouldn't have made it, as we're learning, only for Dvar Mitzvah. What is considered a Dvar Mitzvah? The Paiskim have discussed extensively what is or isn't included in a Dvar Mitzvah. The Rambam says going to greet a Talmud Chacham or going to greet a friend who came from a trip is enough of a mitzvah on which you can rely on an Erev Tchumim. The Beis Yosef says, no, only greeting somebody who's a Talmud Chacham. The Mishnah Berurah says, even going to greet somebody, even if the person hasn't been away, but you're going to greet him because you want to talk divrei Torah with him, that's considered a dvar mitzvah. The Rambam, says the Mishnah Berurah, spoke about somebody coming home from a trip, because the Rambam was trying to teach us, says the Mishnah Berurah, that even if somebody just came home from a trip, that's enough of a, that in itself, going to greet him, kavod abrius, is considered a mitzvah that you could greet somebody. Taisva says, being oisik b'tzarchit sibur is considered a dvar mitzvah. The Smak says that going to shul to be able to daven with a minyan is considered a dvar mitzvah. Then there's a very big discussion about what about making an eruv so that you should be able to take a walk on Shabbos. So the Trumas Hadeshin, it's interesting, the Trumas Hadeshin discusses this, and the Trumas Hadeshin says that taking a walk is considered a dvar mitzvah. And the Ramah quotes that Trumas Hadeshin. But it's very interesting, the Ramah indeed quotes the Trumas Hadeshin, but saying that's a dvar mitzvah. But it's interesting, the Sefer Tosfos Shabbos says, if we look in the Trumas Hadeshin, the Trumas Hadeshin is only speaking about Yontif. And the Trumas and the Tosfos Shabbos makes a very interesting point. He says that the Sefer Trumas Hadeshin, Shal Satshuvas Trumas Hadeshin, is different than all other types of Shal Satshuvas form. Normally, if you have normally the way Shail Satshuvas form were written is that somebody wrote a Shaila to the Rav, and the Rav answered it. The Trumas Hadeshin wasn't necessarily asked question by people. Rather, what happened in Trumas Hadeshin is that he wrote the Shailas, he came up with the questions, and he came up with the answers. So says the Tosfos Shabbos, that the Trumas Hadeshin only speaks about taking a walk on Yontif. That's how he posed the Shaila, and that's how he says that on Yontif taking a walk is dvar mitzvah. So it could be that only on Yontif taking a walk is a mitzvah, not on Shabbos. And the explanation is because Yontif and Shabbos are not really identical. On Yontif, there's a din to have Simchas Yontif. On Shabbos, there's a din to have Oinik Shabbos. So it could well be that on Shabbos, where there's only a din of Oinik Shabbos, taking a walk is not necessarily an Oinik Shabbos, not necessarily considered a mitzvah that should be allowed to rely on Erev Tchumen. Yontif, where there's a mitzvah, then taking a walk is considered maybe a simcha. But it's clear that that's not the opinion of the Ramah, because the Ramah indicates that that the halach of the Trumas Hadeshin applies both on Yontif and Shabbos. Presumably, the reason the Ramah says that is because as far as Hilchus Erev Tchumma concerned, Shabbos and Yontif are the same. So we learned in the Mishnah, V'kal shekibel olam abayjoin, that the Erev is only valid if you accepted the Erev upon yourself from before Shabbos. But the Mishnah said that if you only relied on it after Shabbos began, it's too little too late. We've had many times in our Shurim, in this Masecht as well, on Daf Lamed Vav and Lamed Zayin, a discussion of the halachic concept of Breira. Breira is retroactive designation. We learned the halach is if somebody put down two Erevin on Friday afternoon, one to the east side and one to the west side, because he wasn't sure to which direction he wants to rely on the Erev. So the Mishnah said we could on Shabbos decide which Erev I want to rely on. And the reason we learned that that would be acceptable, because we say Breira, retroactive designation. So the Gemara wants to suggest that our Mishnah is seemingly the halacha, our Mishnah is paskening that you have that we don't rely on Breira, because our Mishnah says that once Shabbos began, you can't rely on the Eruv that was put from before Shabbos. So comments the Gemara, Shamat Minah, isn't our Mishnah Raya that ain't Breira? Because if we follow the concept of Yesh Breira, Tigli Milsa, when on Shabbos I decided I wanted to rely on the Tchum, that Lemafrei, the Mabai Jem, have a Nichalai, that I was satisfied with the Erev from before Shabbos, and since I was satisfied from before Shabbos, it should be acceptable. And the way to make this question, the Rishonim, make this question stronger, the Tosfos, the Ramaskel, Shema Amino, we know that by the Rabbanon, we say Yesh Breira. And therefore, since Erev Tchum is a Rabbanon, why don't we rely on Breira? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Ashi, when our Mishnah says, Kibalom by Joim, means Hodiya V'loyedik Tani. Even if we're going to rely on Breira, at least you had to have known that there was an Erev Tchumim put down before Shabbos. Now, you need to decide if you are going to rely on, you want which Erev do you want to use, or do you want to use the Erev at all? But in our Mishnah, the person wasn't aware of the Erev at all before Shabbos. Since he wasn't aware of the Erev at all, so you can't say retroactive. What does Breira say? Breira says retroactive designation. But here there's no retroactive. You weren't aware before Shabbos about this Erev. So even if you hold Breira, here you can't. Amar Ravasi, says the Gemara, Katan ben Sheish, you have a child who's 6 years old, and of course younger than 6 years old, that he's in the sixth year. So we would call somebody who's after fifth birthday, Yotzbe Erev Imai. He could rely on his mother's Erev. And there are two ways that the Rishonim approach this Gemara. One way that they approach the Gemara is that Erev is only put L'dvar Mitzvah. And even though the Chiyuv of Chinuch is on the father, not on the mother still has a Chiyuv Chinuch. And therefore, the mother who makes an Erev for her child, who's going to rely on it for a Dvar Mitzvah, it's a valid Erev. And from here we indeed say to Rishonim, that when we always say that Chinuch is the obligation of the father, it doesn't mean to exclude the mother. A mother certainly also has a Chiyuv Chinuch, and that's why the Chiyuv to make the Erev for a child that's going to carry, that wants to walk past the Tchum, the mother's Erev is as well, is good as well. But there's another approach in the Rishonim, which is, it has nothing to do with Dvar Mitzvah. The point of this Gemara is that a child, when he's that young, or she's that young, is considered connected to the mother. And therefore, the Erev that the mother made works for the child as well. Meisvei asked the Gemara, we learned in the Braisa, Katan Shetzarach Limoi, a child who still needs his mother, Yotzei Berev Imoi, the Shein Tzarach Limoi. But if the child is that old that he no longer needs his mother all the time, any Yotzei Berev Imoi. So now we have to understand who is the child who's Tzarach Limoi and who is the child that ain't a Tzarach Limoi. Tanan Nami, there's a similar Mishnah in Masech the Sukkah, Daf Chav Ches Omer Aleph. Tanan Nami Gab Sukkah, Ka Gavna. A child who doesn't need his mother is chayv in a sukkah. And we asked, who is that child? What is the age? A child is able to go to the bathroom, so he doesn't need his mother to clean him. Somebody who wakes up, ask the Gemara, Ima Sakadatach, a child waking up and asking for his mother, Gedoilim Namikaru, even older children do so. El Ema, rather what it means is, Kol She'inei Mishnasai, he wakes up from sleeping, Venikaru Ima Imai. He doesn't call for his mother all the time. You know, he'll call for his mother, but if she's not there, he'll be okay. That's an older child. Says the Gemara, V'kama, what is that age? Says the Gemara, Arba Kvashesh, 4 or 5 years old, depending on the maturity of the child. But as far as we're concerned, we have a big question. Here we're saying that the age is 4 or 5, and here we said it's 6. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Yishuv Barei Darvida, Ki Kamar Rav Asi. When did Rav Asi say his halacha that a 6-year-old goes with his mother's Erev? Ki Goyin She'irva Lav Imay L'Tzofen. The father made an Erev to the north side, and the mother made an Erev to the south side. Now the question is, so we have these conflicting Eruvim. Whose Erev should we follow? Until he's that age, we follow the mother's age. The mother's Erev, because we assume that until that age, the child is better by the mother than the father. And in fact, the Rambam in Hilchus Ishus, Perek Chaf Aleph, Halacha Yud Zayin, that when a couple, chas v'shalom, get divorced, and there's a disagreement where the child should be, says the Rambam, at shei shanim gemurim, ein mafrish nosoi memenu. We keep the child with the mother. And the Magen Mishnah points out that the source for this psak of the Rambam is our Gemara, because our Gemara clearly indicated that when a child is till that age, he prefers to be with his mother than with his father. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in a Braisa, Katan shetzarach l'ima yetzer b'erev imoy. He relies with his mother's erev. V'kama until what age? At beis shen shanim, until 6 years old. So says the Gemara, Tiyufta Rabbi Shuba Bar Ivi Tiyufta. This Braisa is clearly a contradiction against what Rabbi Shuba said. He said that a five-year-old doesn't rely on his mother's Erev. And here it says, at six-year-old, you still can rely on your mother's Erev. Ask the Gemara, Lamet Yavati Yufta de Rav Asi. Should we say that this is also a question on Rav Asi? Because Rav Asi said that even after six, even in the sixth year, and he says, Ad Ben Sheish, says the Gemara, Amalach Rav Asi, it isn't a question on what I said, because I'm going to understand the Braisa, Ad, Va'ad B'chlal, six doesn't mean till six, but it includes the sixth year. Ask the Gemara, Lema Tevet, you have the Rav Yanei Reish Lakish, because Rav Yanei Reish Lakish said, is that Einet Tzarech Li'imai, is when the child could clean himself after he uses the bathroom, or when he wakes up, he doesn't cry out for his mother non-stop. That's a 4 or 5 year old, not a 6 year old. Answers the Gemara Loi Kasha. Rav Yanei and Rav Ashi was speaking about the Isa Avu B'Masa, when the father, the child of the father is there. So since the father is there, so he doesn't rely on his mother that much, because if his mother's not there, he could go to his father. The Loi Isa Avu B'Masa, but when the father is not there, so there he must rely much more on his father, on his mother, and that's why the age is later. So we learned that at the beginning of our shiur today, that an erev tchumen cannot be placed unless you have consent. Because as we explained, by putting down an erev tchumen, you're not doing somebody something that's a pure favor, because he loses whatever he gains in one direction, he loses in the other direction. Tan rabbanim. So we learned in the Braisa, Ma'arev Adam Ayde Benoi Bita Ektanim. A person can make an Erev for his children who are young. Ayde Avde V'Shifchas Ektanim. For his servants who are the Shifchas Ektanim. And all of these Bein Ladatim, B'Shnoi Ladatim, whether they have permission or not. So why by a child is the Halacha that we could put down the Erev? So I saw that Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim explain that since, as we learned at the beginning of, towards the beginning of our shiur, Eima Avin El Dvar Mitzvah, and a parent, the father, has the obligation to mechanech his children L'Dvar Mitzvah, so that's why he puts down an Erev L'Dvar Mitzvah. Other Rishonim, the Rashba's approach is, because a child that's young is part of the father's Rishos, he's considered connected to the father. Avdev Shechasei Kenuim, because since they are owned, when the Eved Kenani, Shivcha Kenanis, are completely owned by their owner, therefore the Erev works. You have to, when you make an Erev for them, you have to put down, says the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tuf Yudalad Sifkud Beis, that even though I can make an Erev on their behalf, even without their consent, you have to put down food for every person that's going to rely on the Erev. However, it says the Goyen Yaakov, that even though that we learned that when you put down an Erev for somebody else, you have even when you have consent, you have to be mezakeh him the food. Here the halacha is that since I could put down the Erev without their consent, therefore I don't have to go through the process of being mezakeh. Avdei v'shivchas ivrim, but what about it's avdei v'shivcha ivrim? Aidei b'noi b'tei k'toylem, or you have child that are gedolim, v'loy ha'idei, aval enemar v'loy ha'idei avdev shifchase evrim, v'loy ha'idei b'noy b'noy te gedolim, v'loy ha'idei ishtoi elamadatim. By these people, you have to have consent. What is considered a godl and a cotton? So the Rishonim, even though we had a machloikus previously on the Ayin Tesom Abeis, who are b'noi b'tei k'tanim and who are b'noi b'tei k'tolim. We had a machlokes that some say it depends on age, and some say it depends if they're being supported by the father or not. Here, everybody agrees that it depends on age. Tani idach, but then continues the Gemara, we learned another braisa. Lo yarav adam aydei b'noi b'tei k'tolim, v'aydei avdev shifchas avrim, v'lo yadei ishte el medaton. Av ma'arav hu, aydei avdev shifchas k'nanim, v'aydei b'noi b'tei k'tanim, they're considered an extension of the father. If they made an erev in one direction, and their owner made an erev in a different direction, the erev that the owner made is considered the valid erev, besides by a wife, she could say that she's protesting. Ask the Gemara, Isha Maishna, why is the Brisa singling out a woman? She's no different than Eved Ivri or B'noi B'tei G'doylem. And says the Gemara, what the Mishnah meant, what the Brisa meant to say was, Isha V'chold Adomale. Anybody who's like a wife can protest. Amamar, Chutz Min Isha, Nei Shiyo Yechol Limchis. A woman could protest. So what we see from here is, why is the Erev not going to be a valid Erev in this situation? Tama de Machi, because she protested. Hostama, had she not protested, Nafka Bedabala, her husband's Erev that he made on her behalf, would be a valid Erev. But as the Gemara, Haktani Resha, haven't we learned, Ela El Medatam, my love, doesn't that mean the Amri in? That they have to expressly consent. Without that express consent, it's not going to be valid. Loi. Says the Gemara, that's not my el medatam, the shtiku. If they're quiet, that is understood to be an acceptance of the Erev. Lafuki, hechid da amri lo. Only when they protest is it not a valid Erev. Ask the Gemara, hava kunsh erva erlan rabim, yoitz b'shir rabim. If they made their own Erev and the owner made their own Erev, then the other people go rely on the Erev. V'stamu v'tana chutz me'ish d'loy nafki. That if she made an Erev in one direction and he made an Erev in a different direction, she's not Yoitza. So we see that even though she was quiet, that's not good enough. And says the Gemara, Amarava, Kirin She'ervu, if she made an Erev in the other direction, Ein Lecha Michi Gol Mezeh, that's the best example of a protest. And since that's the best example of a protest, the halacha is that that's why it's not a valid Erev. But if she didn't do anything and she didn't say anything, then her Erev will work. And it's a very interesting Rajba. The Rajba says that we learned a few moments ago that an Erev, that you only become aware of the Erev after Shabbos begun, you can't rely on that Erev. And we learned that even if we follow the opinion of Yesh Breira, it wouldn't be applicable here. We have to be aware that at least the Erev was placed before Shabbos. He says, these people that we just said, ishtiku, if they're quiet, the Erev is a good Erev, the wife, David Kanani, he says that all of them are, the Erev would be valid for them if the Erev was placed before Shabbos, even though they only became aware of the Erev after Shabbos. There's an interesting question that the Bir Halacha poses. This is the Bir Halacha in Siman Tuf Yud Daled. He asks, our Gemara spoke about two categories of individuals. Our Gemara spoke about Eved Kanani, Shifcha Kananis, and Eved Ivri, and Am Ivriya. So of course, we don't have any of those type of individuals, Bezman Hazeh. The question that he brings up is what's going to be the halacha with a worker, a Jewish worker, Bezman Hazeh. He's not an Eved Ivri. We don't have Eved Ivri. But maybe because he works on a full-time basis for his employer, I'm not talking about somebody who has a 9-to-5 job, I'm talking about somebody who's there all the time, maybe halachically for these halachas, he could be considered like an Eved Ivri.